Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Nicole and Sean, for leading us in that. Hello, church. Good morning. It is good to gather with you in June 2021. Oh my goodness, time flies, especially this year during and after the pandemic. We're moving towards the endemic with masks. You'll see some of us are continuing to wear them. Some are moving beyond because the CDC came out with an announcement about that those vaccinated don't need to wear masks anymore. But we still have a childcare staff that is required to wear masks. And so if you're coming through the church throughout the week, we ask that you continue to wear a mask as you move about the building, as well as when we're singing again, you saw it, right? If you could wear your mask during that time as well, just because we're still trying to navigate those waters as we go forth, but it is good to see you this morning. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ways in which your love continually astounds and surprises, and for the ways in which you have been faithful, even when we have not. Lord, be with us as we do our best to be with you wherever you lead, that we may follow faithfully. In this time, Lord, take from us anything that we are desperate to hold on to control. And let us realize, Lord, that you are always there. So form us this day, that we may continue to better image you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's a few changes happening around here. One or 25. And so with the changes, right, it's tempted to just say goodbye to everything and not know what's going on. One of the terms with that is farewell. And today is kind of a farewell to Pastor Jen on Sunday because this is her last Sunday with us. You might see her around yet for a little bit. So just know you're blessed if you come in and you see her with that. But with farewell, it's tough sometimes to be like, oh no, we're saying goodbye, farewell. But what does farewell mean? Have you thought about that? A fare is just traveling, right? Fare, you know, go along the way that you're able to go where you go. When you say farewell, it's saying that our paths are splitting for this season. And traveling is such a big part of our life. In fact, some of the greatest literature you've ever read is about traveling. Some of the greatest movies are about this narrative of how we get from point A to point B. There's the classic On the Road of Jack Kerouac, of the Beatniks and everyone coming through the 50s and 60s. And then there's the real classics, There and Back Again, A Hobbit's Tale, right? J.R.R. Tolkien, being able to share. And from there, right, you go to the Lord of the Rings and you start seeing everyone else imitating from there. Even further back, A Pilgrim's Progress, the Fairy Queen, all of these about going from point to point, or you go back, the Aeneid, Odysseus, and the Odyssey. You start seeing these tales that we keep encountering the next obstacle and the paths part and they come together and we're able to overlay our lives with meaning in these tales. Or as Gandalf says to Frodo, it's dangerous going outside, Frodo. You never know when you stay on your feet, when your feet meet the road, where you might end up and be swept off to. Because that's the thing. Every day when you walk outside, you may have this plan, but life comes at you, and you don't know necessarily where your journey will take you. And so it's good to be present where you are and realize that God is behind some of those winds that blow. One of the best narratives, I kind of think this is where they got it. As you read Scripture, this unified story that leads to Jesus, right? And you see in the Scripture stories of people who have been called to move to new places. Abraham and Sarah, the people of Israel coming out of Egypt, the people of Judah exiled to Babylon and their return, Mary and Joseph, Paul and Barnabas, Priscilla and Achaia, filled with uncertainty about where they were and what lay ahead. These people of God could not have found their moves easy, yet they were also filled with excitement. trusting that God was calling them and guiding them to a new place, a call which continues through our time and in our lives. And by reading this word and grounding ourselves in this word, we have this context by which we are able to reclaim this vision, this calling that God has to us, where we're able to reflect on our lives, to receive the wisdom God has this day about where our steps may fall tomorrow in our own struggles. With these changes, there's things to remember, and to remember well about where we've been. And so in this next picture, there's something about this. This is actually the 5-year anniversary of Madeline joining us. And so not all memories are about parting. It's about converging, realizing there were these on-ramps when Pastor Jen joined us, when Sherry joined with us. We have this season together. Even now, as you look around, we are in a season together. For some of us, it is a short time. For some of us, it's 80-plus years. You don't know how long you journey together, so journey well wherever you go. And on this next slide, Pastor Jen shared so well about this. This is from last night. The Illini, the 4,000, the group from Illinois University that comes through here each year, they were able to come and receive your hospitality through Stu Milligan. But biking is a way of journeying where you are forced to be present to your surroundings. When we travel in our cars, it's amazing. I love a good road trip, but you can zone out. But when you're biking, you have to pay attention to the weather. You have to pay attention to the gravel. You have to pay attention to the potholes because they can take you on a journey you don't want to go on very quickly. I remember one of my first long rides I did in preparation for riding from West Lafayette to annual conference a few years ago. We just went. We got on the bike and we went and soon realized that GPS does not work everywhere. And we went and we found ourselves without GPS signal on a gravel road that ended. And we had to decide, are we going to turn around or keep going? Well, it looked like we could make it. So we traveled through a field, and the field turned into a wooded ditch, and we were carrying our bikes on our shoulders. And you realize that traveling well teaches you things. Like, be prepared. That you can't carry with you everything you wish, so have wisdom in what you pack with you as you go forth. As I continued biking, I've learned other things, that it's good to be in the pack. That as you stay close with others who are going where you are going, you can draft. And together you can be faster and stronger than you are by yourself. That it's good to have a SAG vehicle. That it's good to have other people come alongside you in your journey, to pick you up when you're down, to carry you forward to where you should start next, to be present with one another. And so biking is but one form of traveling as we go forth that strips us down from the comforts that often keep us from traveling where God calls. But usually when we travel, it's more like in the next picture, inside the comfort of a car. But this picture's a little disorienting at first, because what you see ahead is actually what lays behind, right? When you look in the mirror, you see where you've been. The road ahead, you do not know, but this is such an important part of life. If you don't know where you've been, how can you ever fully go to where God is calling? Yes, we have the Bible verses, forgetting what is behind, striving towards what ahead. We press on to the mark that Christ calls us to. We are to know that God's call is so pure and wonderful, we go forth. But it's also helpful to know who we are in that journey. We at Central are in one of those moments, a pivot point as we are looking back and seeing who we've been. But after the pandemic, we have this call to travel forward together, this call to go forth to unknown lands, as not just we at Central, but the whole world wrestles with the post-pandemic reality. How do we gather in a world that is scared of one another, that has gotten comfortable to being digitally present but not physically? How do we continue to serve in a world where volunteers and people caring about their neighbors is there, but we don't see it in the same level as before? Yesterday, I had the privilege of celebrating the life of Fran Engel. Fran was a member of this congregation for 78 years. She's published several books, and some are back there by gifts of the family if you want to grab one. One that's not there, it was shared during the service, was listed on eBay for $800-some. So if you want a collector's item, you never know where the market for Fran Engel books might go ahead. But that book is no longer available. I wanted to read from one of her books here because I think it's good to remember where we have been, for Fran was with this. In her introduction to this book, she says, "Are you aware of the reality of God? Or do you fear that he is inattentive to our needs or the needs of the world? No, God is not sleeping, nor is he dead. He works in the lives of people every day in significant ways. His assurance comes from Isaiah 42:16. I will lead the blind in a way they know not, in paths that they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them." From a lifetime of experiences through prayer and the study of his word, I know he is an active, caring God. He expresses his love in different ways. I see him in the creative beauty of sky, seas, streams, mountains, trees, flowers, and dependability of the seasons. I know the warmth of his love through my husband, Bob, and through family relationships, church, and friends. Through influence of faith at work, Bible study fellowship, the Emmaus walk, inspirational books, and prayer groups continue to help me grow in my fellowship with God. Great musicians, both individually and collectively in a symphony, contribute to my well-being through inspirational music. Choirs echo angelic singing that fills my heart to near bursting with the joy of their voices. Fran was someone who loved to travel. She went to all 50 states and several countries, and everywhere she went, she was able to just marvel at the wonder of God's presence because she believed in a God-bathed world. She was bathed in these promises and knew it was God who was forming her to call her to go forth. Friends, traveling is such an amazing thing. You're able to gain new perspectives. We're seeing rising around this country and around the world a new tribalism where me and mine and the people that look like me might be the most important people, and others who look different are wrong. Traveling is one of the cures to that. Because as you travel, you see that everywhere people bear God's image. Everywhere they may speak differently, they may act differently, they may even believe differently. But God's love is for them. And as Christians, we are to shine God's love through us to others, humbling ourselves to be present. And so when we look at this picture, it is good to know where we have been. We individually, we as people of God here at Central, and we together with those who may have departed before us, who have gone a different path. Because you can only move forward in a healthy way when you know where you are. So many of us want to start somewhere other than where we are. To not confess the sins that have brought us to this moment. To not confess that Jesus was Lord of our lives even when we were in rebellion. To not confess maybe this is not the path I thought I would be traveling upon. But when we acknowledge where we are, we have a chance to move forward. Paul is one of the quintessential characters of this journey. The whole New Testament reeks, it has so much. I say reek because he calls us people who smell, right? We have a peculiar aroma. But as he goes forth, this farewell address to the Ephesian elders here in Acts 20 is not Paul's final call. But it's one in which he is giving over this control. Because if you look at his first journey in Scripture, what is it? It's a journey to kill Christians. His first journey is one of his own accord, where he is seeking out the powers that be so that he can go forth, but Christ encountered him on a Damascus road and forever altered the course of his travels and life. As we look at this specific passage, there's three C's of calling, caution, and commendation that occur. But before that, there's context. You see, Paul, on his desire to return to Jerusalem by Pentecost, right? Pentecost, where come, Holy Spirit, come. The Holy Spirit has come on Pentecost so that we can follow Jesus to go forth, because Jesus called Paul so clearly through the power of the Holy Spirit on Damascus Road. As we go forth, we see that Paul not only is eager to get back, he needs to get every word in he can, to where right before this, he preaches well into the night and kills Eutychus. Or rather, Eutychus falls out of a window and dies. One of those great stories, right? And so Paul goes out and brings him back from the dead, and they keep on talking about Jesus. Keep on sharing the good word, because he knows this traveling is before him. And so in verse 17, as Jan read today, we see Paul talking about his calling. This calling that he was faithful to, and that's calling him to where he's been. Of the past, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears. A lot of times when we travel, we believe we are going to have our own enjoyment. But the best travels are those where we go, where we have this purpose that's bigger than ourselves. One of the things that has amazed me about traveling in my lifetime is how much I hate arriving. Because when you arrive, the journey's over. You part ways. But as we are working together on the journey to go, there's great stories, there's great adventure. We never know what might happen. We are in this together. When we arrive, it's a little bit of ennui ahead. And so Paul was talking about how this calling he has severely been tested by the plots of the Jews in verse 20, about how he'd never hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house and declared to all people that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Friends, that is a journey we can all still travel today. I don't care how you've ever messed up in your life, whatever journey you've been on that has ended in failure or wrecking, God is still calling to redeem if we but turn from those ways and are faithful. Together, we at Central, together, that small group you are a part of, together, where you and your family can journey well following our blessed Savior. And so he talks about this past, but then in verse 22, about how this calling brings him forward. Compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen, but that I see that I must finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. God's grace. This amazing thing that so many people around us do not know. Right? We want to say that, oh, everyone goes to church, or everyone already believes in Jesus. The numbers say otherwise. Right now, only about 47% of Americans have membership in a church. 1 in 10 go to church on a Sunday on average. That's our reality. And that was before the pandemic. And now as we go step forth into this reality, knowing that there is this God-bathed world out there, and some people are condemned to believing that they are the decider of everything, that there's nothing transcendent, no journey they can go on to find the meaning, the purpose that God has for them, that they're condemned to create their own meaning, that they have to come up with everything and constantly entertain themselves. Friends, this calling of bringing God's grace to people is something amazing. At the end of this, Paul continues on with what he was doing, that he didn't do this for money, that he worked to provide because he wanted to show people how much he cared. That this kind of hard work, he says, we must help the weak, remembering the words that the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. When we travel, Are you giving yourself in different situations? Or are you just there to extract the most enjoyment? Are you willing to be present to other travelers along the road, to maybe put down your phone in the airport, to strike up a conversation, believing that maybe, just maybe, God's Holy Spirit will speak through you in that moment and be a blessing to others? Or when we acknowledge that we're all on a journey of life, are we willing to see that each day is this battlefield for us to go forth, to proclaim God's love, to bring about shalom and abundance, that every day we are journeying together? Just because we're in the same address does not mean it is not a journey to keep the peace. Right? What is the second law of thermodynamics? Everything is moving to a state of chaos. It takes a lot of work to keep things ordered and pointed towards God's love. If we just let things be, the weeds come up, the chaos goes out, the waters rise. But it is by speaking God's love and truth into that, that we can have those acts of new creation. And so this calling drives Paul forward as it drives us forward, and he leaves a caution in verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. And we see that Paul is saying exactly that. That anytime people see good people doing good things, someone will want to use it for their own end. Let me say that again. Anytime people see good people doing good things, people will want to bend that to their own will. Friends, we are a people who prayed and always pray, "Thy kingdom come," which means that God rules in this area, that God rules our lives, that God is the ruler by which we direct our gathered together fellowship. That each day as you go forth on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, are you building up God's kingdom or your own? Are you traveling this life so that you have all of these badges and glory and honor? Are you traveling to give that to God, that others may benefit, that others may know God's grace? Or as Paul says it in other spaces, are you fighting the good fight of the faith? Are you recognizing every day that loving God, being gracious, participating in shalom is hard work? And that the news won't report it because it bleeds, it leads. But good news is that, you know what? Another marriage stayed together today. Good news is that a son reconciled with their father today. Good news is that a neighbor was not alone once again because there was an invitation to feast. Are you willing to fight that good fight and realize that as we are called to journey, that there's people out there, forces out there, evil out there, sin out there that threatens what we have? And finally, a commendation in verse 32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And friends, as we travel and we part ways, do you do that? Are you seeking to be in the Word? The Word of the Holy Spirit pouring out, the Word of God's creation that he created in order, the Word of God's grace. Do you travel in this Word daily, being formed and encountering adventures, daily going forth from here, and forming your life according to its precepts and its truth in the way? Are you forming yourself according to Proverbs 3? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You see, it's when we lean into God and we trust others when they go forth to God. I know now as a parent that when you say goodbye to your child, you often want to say, well, make sure you buckle, right? Well, make sure you wash your hands, do this, because you realize you are severed from their presence as they part. But we have to trust in the wisdom we give them every day that they will go forth. And the ultimate wisdom we can offer them is to trust in the way of the Lord. And so as you travel this life, are you daily pouring in and giving yourself to others so that when you part, you can trust in God and commend them to God, or do you still need that control? Finally, an epilogue to these three things is crying. You heard it in every bit of the way. With tears, Paul proclaimed the gospel. With tears, he admonished them. And then what happens? When Paul had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept and embraced him and kissed him because they knew they would never see them again. It's good to cry, right? I know there's a lot of bad messaging out there that crying is weak, but tears are those words that we have yet to form that well up within and pour out and water the earth for God's glory. Tears of joy, tears of sorrow, recognizing that in this life sin still reigns, that death divides for a moment, but resurrection will bring us back together again, but there is a chance as we part from here each Sunday that we won't see each other again the following. It is something that around the world in the persecuted church, they know all too well. It is something we often take for granted that we will be alive another week. But the reality is we will all die. Well, I think so. About 100% is the death rate of late. There was Elijah and a few others, Enoch. But most of us will die, and we will be parted. Are we traveling well until that parting? Are we saying faithfully and enjoying this time together, pouring into one another as we travel? John Wesley so desperately wanted everyone to know the word of God that he traveled over 250,000 miles on horseback, preaching over 40,000 sermons to be an evangelist, a traveling preacher, to make sure that people knew in all of England and beyond this love of God. And so when we know that why, that calling deep within, as Jesus called Paul to do, that is more blessed to give than receive, to get into this posture not of grabbing and taking and fighting for us, but to giving and fighting with love, giving to where we might be torn apart. We might find ourselves by emptying ourselves. As Jesus did, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Are we willing to humble ourselves? To acknowledge that as we go forth, we can travel and grab and make things about ourselves? Or are we willing to co-rule, to give to God, to let God freely give back, to be faithful to that call that he has, that as we go forth from here, traveling in our cars and by foot, traveling in our meals and by conversation, traveling in gatherings and in work, are we to see that these paths we're on are blessings that God calls us to? And as we say farewell, as we turn off on another path, have we given all? Have we given all so that others may travel well? J.R.R. Tolkien says at the end of the book, adventures don't end. Someone else carries on the story. And so the farewells we say today and at lunch, they're not permanent. They're a calling to a new adventure. And now, friends, as we come together to break forth from here to travel, we come together for enjoy the grace of God. Breaking bread together, We tell this story of a Savior who loved us, who traveled and emptied himself to earth to show us how to be truly human, that we can go forth from here and serve others well, knowing we are sustained by this love and not our own direction, knowing we are sustained by this call and not our own creation. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the ways in which you call us to travel well, to be with you, to honor you. Lord, let us know that calling you have given to us as we may part ways for a season or for the rest of our lives, knowing that we have this meal together. And in this moment, we are brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen.